Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is your brother Murad Muhammad, live on your Blog Talk Radio. I come to you every night, 2 hours a day, 7 o'clock p.m., 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. This Saturday is a special day, a day that I try to bring to you all, people that travel the globe, that's known in the world, that can enlighten you about every day in life. They say first come difficulties, then comes ease. But you have knowledge and you have wisdom. Tonight I have a man with wisdom, meaning that he has experienced a lot of things that some of us have not experienced. Wisdom, you don't learn it, you have to experience it. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored on behalf of New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, to sponsor you this broadcast. If, in fact, that you miss anything of this broadcast and need to go to the library, you tune in at Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent, Mirage Speaks, and you can listen to the full broadcast and my guest that I will interview. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that this radio was created by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, New Africa, with Mirage Speaks, on very different things in life. Surely it's an Islamic radio station, but Islamic is universal. Islamic allows us to talk to people in all walks of life. And this gentleman, I'm not talking to him as a Jew or a Christian or one in Islam. I'm talking to a man that I grew to love that is an upright human being. And keep in mind that Christianity is about 550 years old. Islam is 1,400 years old. And the first religion that dominated the world was Judaism a little over 600 years ago. But when we was created, out of the womb of our parent, our mother, Eve, Adam, you can't speak of one and don't talk about the other. There was no religion. What was we operating in this world? We were operating as upright human beings, one that had the nature of what God had given to us, and so therefore our nature guided us and our intellect was able to develop and allow us to understand what God wanted from us. For whatever reason, man swayed, and then religion had to come to put us back on the right pattern. And so on this radio show, we represent that all religions bring you the word of God. And the word of God never changes, brothers and sisters. It's consistent. But we have a problem not understanding that communication does change. And when communication changes, it evolves. So you can't speak like you spoke 1,400 years ago or 20 years ago. This is the 21st century. And modern technology allows you to talk to the world. So today we are speaking to the world. There's millions of people around the world that tunes in, whether you're in China or in Africa, whether you're in Nigeria, whatever part of the continent of that country, you can hear us. If you are in Mexico, or if you decide to be in France or England, if you travel all the way to Russia and you're in the European country, you can tune in on this show. This is a great vehicle that was created by our brother Jew in 2006, and he created this vehicle for himself, and he thought about it. Maybe others want to be able to have this type of vehicle to communicate, so he gave it to people like myself. And if you study the gentleman that created, he just started coming out of the red as early as 2000 and 11. This is what creativity is all about. And this young man that I have on the phone, because there's nothing old about him, he has a lot of motivation, a lot of determination, and he has been through the fire. And we say when one comes through the fire in the military, they say he comes through the ranks. And he knows how to take orders before he gave orders. But he ended up being a spectacular athlete, and this young man was able to walk in from the Cleveland Browns with the just a will. Where there's a will, there's a way. And they asked this young man, I believe you're too old at the age of 30. He said, what constitutes being too old? When they found out his speed and his capabilities, they hired him. And when he played in that game that everyone had said the Cleveland Browns was not going to win, because on the other side there was a linebacker that was able to bring touchdowns unbelievable. He would catch the ball and just run it in. Who could cover that young man? Well, this gentleman I had on the phone, they say he covered him like a cover, and they won the Super Bowl. But I like about the idea, not just he's a great athlete with a Super Bowl of the Cleveland Browns world title with the great Jim Brown, who he and I became very close. And I didn't know this gentleman. All I knew was Jim Brown. But I know anybody that travels with Jim Brown have to have an ability. When I learned his ability, his opportunity to show me that he understood what life was all about. He understood that we have to give it back to our children, so he become a school teacher. He thought about that one day that he will be able to help the youth that doesn't want to help themselves. And so Jim Brown and him and his wife and a group of people came up with America I Can. That's how I became very close to this young man. But I want to say this to you. He taught me something. You don't get too old and don't ask questions. I'm younger than him. But he makes me feel that we are equal in ability to learn, because he would ask me questions. And he would compliment me if I said anything profound. He never looked at me as being much younger than him. He looked at my mind, and I looked at his mind. He showed me his heart, and I showed him my heart. And we are a mirror of one another. I give my word on this, brothers and sisters, that he studies at night when everybody is asleep. He's always had vision. He always wants to continue to be able to learn. And that's what God says. We must learn from our cradle to our grave. Well, tonight, I'm going to introduce you a man that is a manifestation of just that. That God says, not I, not any man, we should study from the cradle to the grave. I call him Doc. It's a name that Jim Brown referred to him as Doc. And this is a man that went to some of the most prestigious Ivy League colleges, a man that decided to educate himself, a man that decided to become a great athlete, a man that decided to be able to give back the knowledge that God has given to him, and he wrote a book. And that book we're going to speak about tonight, and he will define why he decided to write this book. Would you consider this? Well, that's his title. Consider this. He ain't trying to teach on you. He ain't trying to tell you what to do. But just stop and think what you consider this. I want to introduce you with no further ado to a brother that I refer to as my brother, my friend, and more important, as an example how I would like to lead this world. And that is Dr. Beach, we call him Dr. Beach the Third. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one upright human being. My brother, how are you doing, Doc?
I'm doing fine, Murad. Your introduction was very interesting and overwhelming. Let me just clear up one immediate thing. When we won in 1964 the world championship with the Cleveland Browns, that was the era, I think, 2 to 3 years before they even created the Super Bowl. So I'm not blessed to have ever won the Super Bowl, but at that time it was referred to as the World Championship in the National Football League. So we were the best in the world. But other than that, I'm doing fine and want to support you in your efforts and have any kind of a discussion, a conversation that you think that it's beneficial for us to discuss.
I think that's good to put it in perspective for our great athletes and our historic people that's in the field. But it's like a mirror of a good metaphor. And Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all times, and it was 15 rounds then. And someone introduced Mayweather as one of the great champions that won a fight for the longest rounds that ever been. And Mayweather is not known for 15 rounds. He is known for 12 rounds. However, Mayweather made over $500 million in 55 minutes. Never been done in the history of the sport. So, yes, sometimes we may indulge us to give a point that what happened back then, it today doesn't supersede, because today is more commercial. Today is much easier. The sport has changed tremendously. The pads, the things that they wore that you guys didn't wear back then. However, did they invent new things to enhance the sport? I guess they did. But my God, y'all had it rough back then, because racism was at the highest. All y'all had was each other. And that's one thing I would like to speak about, that people don't understand, that because of your talent, and it had to be super, because they didn't want us in the game. So you saw racism every day, but you had to overlook it for your children, overlook it for your wife, overlook it for your mother and father, overlook it for your community. And sometimes you had to not pull your hand out of the lion's mouth, but you ease it out. So can you tell me about today's athlete that you grew up with, and all the opposition off the field that you had when it came to racism?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. My dad told me when the term racism was introduced, my father always told me that racism is a term that people use to demean or control people. But he always told me, he said, you have to decide what your relationship will be to racism. And based on that, your initial comment was overlooked. I've never overlooked racism. We never overlooked racism. The difference in terms of that is that I have very little, I'm indifferent to racism. I'm only concerned about racism, because racism has the ability or the power to impact African Americans or black people. So a racist means nothing to me. I don't care what he thinks of me. I think very little of him. So that's a wash. But racism, I reject, and I use every bone in my body, every fiber in my body to resist it. So one of the things that I've observed, and I don't try to make any judgments about the athletes of today, because they deal with different situations. And you introduced the athletic aspect of it when you talked about Muhammad Ali and Mayweather. And for me, it's kind of difficult to address, because to me, Muhammad Ali was more than a professional boxer. Boxing was what he did, but boxing wasn't who he was. So, therefore, I hold him in high esteem. I've been in his presence many times, and we supported him during the turbulent times when he resisted and refused to go to war. So that's one thing I want to get out of the way. When people talk to me, I don't see Muhammad Ali as a boxer, so I don't deal with him in that particular venue or that genre. Secondly, to address the racist aspect of it, in my second book that I'm just completing now, I'm writing, it's called The Sting of the Whip. And in The Sting of the Whip, I started the book out as saying that I am more concerned, I'm 83 years old, so I'm more concerned today than I was 50 years ago, because in my, what I should say, aspirations or hope, I thought things would change, but things today are worse than they were 50 years ago. And unfortunately, that struggle was misled, in my opinion. I've never been that impressed with the whole aspect of why one must integrate into something or associate. Integration to me, and this is just a metaphor, Murad, that you may want to use. Integration to me reminds me of a book that I read, Saving Fish from Drowning. You don't need to save fish from drowning, because fish can negotiate the water. So I don't believe that there needed to be a fight or a struggle to integrate into a social system, economic system, or political system. For all intents and purposes, reject your humanity. So I'm not that impressed with the response. And I think that part of the response for integration and addressing racism was the expectations were never clearly defined. So I didn't know what African Americans or black people thought that they would benefit from in terms of integration. You can go to school with white folks. That was the goal. You can go and eat in their hotels. That was the goal. You can go to their schools. That's the goal. You can ride the front of the bus as opposed to the back of the bus. That was the goal. A few of you can make some money. That was the goal. You can get a black president. That was the goal. So even accomplishing all that, look at basically what has happened in this country and what has changed. I don't believe much has changed. Lying is lying. Stealing is stealing. Killing is killing. Cheating is cheating. Racism is racism. So that's my brief founding on your question, and I'll address another question if you'd like.
Well, I think you put it in perspective, and to hear you say it, that reach the age that you have reached, let me show you how profound you are. We try to instill in our athletes, you're more than just an athlete. It's a gift that God gave you. But when you're off that football field, basketball, or out of the ring, you have a obligation to your community. But you just say that you love what Ali represented outside that ring means more to you than what he represented inside the ring.
Sure, and sure. Let me say this. And I'm going to tell you why. I come out of a community that loved me, man. I come out of a community that developed not only my athletic ability, but my intellectual ability. It developed my spiritual love, the spiritual values. And why would, once I go play football, I reject or ignore that and try to go escape from someplace? Why? You know, the most valuable resources on the planet is always, what should I say? It's always a mine. You mine for ore, gold, diamonds, silver. So the resources in the black communities today basically are athletes. So the athletes, so you mine and take the athletes out of the community that developed them, and then once they manage to get the necessary resources to produce a level of help for the people that they once were or where they were, they abandon them. So, you know, they might have a few tax-exempt organizations, but in terms of the contribution that they make to the community they come out of, I read in the paper where an individual come out of a black community, and he got $76 million to play football. And he gave $5 million to the college he graduated from. He didn't give a penny to the community and the people who nurtured and helped him thrive as a human being. So I have problems with that. But like I said, my book talks about all this, and my book is Consider This. I'm just saying what I say, I want people to consider it. They don't have to believe it. They don't have to accept it. But if you, like you talked and you open your program, if you have the intellect to reason and think and make critical decisions and analysis about your life experiences, you should come out at a certain place in your life. And I'm very passionate about it. I'm very emotional about it because, one, I come up out, like I said, I was nurtured in a family that loved me and taught me to love my people. So family and race are very important to me.
I hear you loud and clear, and I want to take you back because in reading your book, you had a love for your father from junior to one, two, and now you and your mother, who you love dearly, and as well as your grandmother. And I believe you had a sister.
Right,
you
yeah.
Them very, very strongly. Would you touch on that for the listeners?
Well, my family was, you know, like, they were everything to me, man. They were everything to me. So, I, of course, I have to be everything to them. But I think everybody loves their mother or their father or their sisters and brothers. And I think that that's one of the higher human qualities. But there's nothing that I could do. Nothing. And I have no choice because it's in my genetic makeup. There's nothing I could do to violate my mother or my dad or my grandmother or my sister. There's nothing I could do to make them feel that I disrespected them or I did things that would embarrass or insult them. So that's just the way that I was reared as a young man. So I couldn't. And I'm gonna say something and I've never said it before, but I'm gonna say it on this particular program. I'm 83 years old, man. I'm from Pontiac, Michigan. I lived in Pontiac, Michigan until I was 19 years old and entered the military and the United States Air Force as a cryptographic operator. I never used any profanity in Pontiac because I thought somebody might hear me and tell my grandmother or my mother or my father that I was cursing. But I'm a normal kid like everybody else. I know all of the slick stuff in the street, and I hung out and I went to the picnics and I was kissing girls and doing things that other young men do. But the point I'm making is that there are certain things that I couldn't do. Not that I didn't have the capacity to do it, but I didn't have the will to do it. Man, what would my mother say if I did something wrong? What would my mother say? What would my father say? So that's just that, you know. And I don't want nobody to think that I'm that all that in a bag of potato chips. But I always knew what I was taught by my mother, my grandmother, my father, and I always followed that. So I haven't strayed far from that. So when it's time for me to stand, and if it's a moral and ethical principle for me to stand on, I'm going to stand on it. But I'm not going to allow the nonsense to enter my I had a friend, I just saw him the other day, and I called him and I said, man, what are you doing? Because I knew his dad. He was smiling and joking that his daughter had told him that snitches get stitches. And I said to him, I said, what do you mean, man? I said, did you explain that to her? Because she's 9 years old. He said, I thought it was funny. I said, no, it's not funny, man. It's not funny at all. If I live in a community and I respect the people in the community and a brother or another person or thief come in and violate my neighbor, I'm going to let the people know that that ain't right. So I ain't worried about some stitches. And if you consider that snitching, that's nonsense. You got to respect and be responsible in your community. You can't let another man or woman or human being violate your family or your friends and you don't do anything? Man, this country's in one of the worst situations ever in, man. And I went on, my wife has a Facebook, and I went on a Facebook account, and there was a discussion, and I got to say this, Mara, there was a discussion on Facebook, who were the five best rappers? The guys, you know, was it Biggie, Tupac, or Jay-Z? And that was on Facebook, man, for 4 days. So we got African Americans that got all the issues and problems in our community, and for 4 days they want to talk about who's the best rapper. What kind of nonsense is that, man? And that's where we are, and that's what our issues and our struggle is, and that's all I'm saying. And all I'm saying, again, and I keep going back to the title of my book because I like the title, I'm just saying consider. People listening to this, just consider what I'm saying. You don't have to believe it. In fact, you might even reject it. But if you consider it and you're fairly rational and you can think, because if you understand, reason and logic requires evidence. Opinions and belief are not restricted. You say what you have opinion on anything. You say what you want to say. If you don't have no evidence, then you haven't dealt with reason and logic.
You know, Doc, these are the words that God has inspired you to do. I just want to take a few minutes and tell our listening audience that here you hear a profound individual that went from the physical to the intellectual. This is the developer of what God asked us to do, is to develop our intellectual mind. The great Jim Brown, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but the great Jim Brown, if you know anything about him, he's a no-nonsense individual when it comes to he respects the mind of another mind. One of the reasons he said he loves the Doc, and he gave him that name, Doc, for his education ability to understand foresight. He was very intelligent on the field. But he came through a very disciplined family. He took orders. Now, if you know anything about our military branches, the Air Force is one of the tops. You have to be intellectually inclined to be in the Air Force. So he went through the Air Force, and he spoke and told you what he became in the Air Force. But what y'all don't know, in spite of his goals and casing, he went back to the school that he came out of and began to teach the fourth graders, our children that's coming out of kindergarten. That's what it means, kindergarten, plant the seed. Your last statement, Doc, was that, listen to this, just consider it. God didn't ask us to be able to do anything. Nothing happened without the will of God, without a leaf fall from the tree. But what Dr. Beast get rewarded for is good intention. That's all God asks the human being for is good intention. So tonight, he is just giving you something to consider. If you don't accept it, he gets rewarded for what? Good intention. That's what gravitated me to him, because he understood. Now, I'm not begging you, I'm not forcing you, and I'm not telling you what to do. But consider this. Consider what I've been through and understand, because knowledge, it evolves. And evolving is a saying, Doc, in Scripture. God says there's no beginning, ending, meaning that the day you chose to educate your intellectual mind, that's your beginning. Everyone has a beginning. And as you go through the trials and error, that is the gift that God gives you, that you come into better understanding of what your destiny is. It doesn't happen at 20, 25, 30, 40, but when you come into your age, you are coming into knowing your destiny. And all you trying to do is say, hey, don't fall in the footsteps that I fell in. Make a new one that I don't know anything about. But I'm going to show you that that way is not the correct way. So it brings me to a point to understand. You and Jim Brown became, and you mentioned it early on the radio, that y'all came together, all the superstars of the NFL, and some from different other fields that joined Muhammad Ali in the worst time that we could have stopped you all from playing your sport and your livelihood. But you all came behind Muhammad Ali because you respected what he stood for, not coming behind him because he was a boxer. But you, Jim Brown, and you all, now when you say Jim Brown, that covers all of you, came on, about 12 of y'all got on national TV and said, we are not going to allow you to do this to our brother named Muhammad Ali. Now, what made that so strong, Doc? If you look there, Ali said his religion was Islam. Now, yes, Lou Alcindor, Kareem Jabbar says his religion is Islam. But you had Christians there, Jim Brown, was under Christianity, you was under Christianity, and no telling what other religion was there. But that day, it had nothing to do with religion. It had something to stand up for self and kind. I just want you to speak about how you and Jim Brown, from that day, created Merck ICANN, which has helped the American youth that's in the streets killing one another, and where you are today.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, Jim Brown in the 60s, Jim Brown organized the Black Economic Union. He made an effort to bring all the black athletes together and to pool their resources. It prospered for about 2 years. It went the way of most organizations when you're trying to get people to come together to help their own people. One of the things about the economic union was the effort to make the athletes come together and pool their resources to help other people, build homes, go into business. So Jim always is a visionary. Jim's a very, very bright, unique human being. But to address the other point that you say, you're correct. Jim's a Christian. I'm a Christian. But because during that period we supported a Muslim, everybody thought that Jim Brown and Walter Beach were Muslims. Because the religion got in the way of how people try to manipulate situations. So no one ever made the distinction and said, well, they're supporting Muhammad Ali because that's the correct position to be at. They say, oh, they're supporting Muhammad Ali because they're Muslims. See, and I don't know, it's not much different from that today. You got people castigating Muslims based on what somebody else said or did. And as opposed to looking at principles, and the reason that I talk about that aspect of principles, because I follow the Nazarene. The Nazarene was Jesus Christ. But I don't use the word Jesus or Christ because that has emotional, it drives people away to situations emotionally. But I know the Nazarene lived by some principles that I live by. The Nazarene identified the way we should be treating individuals. Should love your neighbor as you love your wife, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Says your neighbor. It don't say nothing. You got to love the Christian the way the Christian, because they're Christian. It don't say that you got to love a Muslim or Hasidic Jew. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about the principle of humanity, how we should live with each other. But because of what I call, and again, not to offend anybody, it's just like I said, because what I call the imperial religions, because the imperial religions have a different, have their own special interest in how they deal with situations. So all I'm saying is that one of the questions I get often asked often, man, is during the 60s and those turbulent periods when there was all of the riots and fighting confusion in the country, they said, how did you 12 guys on the Cleveland Browns not have problems with the other white players on the Browns? 9 out of 10 of the white players on the Browns were from the South, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama. We never had any problems with it. Why didn't we have any problems? Because we were sovereign human beings, and they were sovereign human beings. So we didn't ask no white boys to like us, and white boys didn't ask us to like them. We just did what we had to do as human beings. So we didn't get caught up in that race stuff. Race didn't have nothing to do with me and Johnny Brewer. Johnny Brewer's from Mississippi. I'm from Michigan. Johnny Brewer's the linebacker on my side. I'm the right cornerback. When it was time to make a play, I look at Johnny, and Johnny look at me, and Johnny said, Walt, how you want to handle this? Or I say, Johnny, how you want to handle it? And when we say this, how we going to handle it, we say, bet, now let's just do it. That nonsense, man. See, race, religion, gender, sex, all that stuff, man, all that is about this is to confuse people who don't understand. So they buy into it and create additional confusion, man. See, I know who I am. I know who I am. I don't have no problem with who I am. So I don't deny nothing. I don't defend it, nor do I distort it, because I know who I am. It doesn't matter to me what somebody out here think I am or what they believe I'm saying or what they think I'm saying. I know that. I know that. My grandmother taught me that. The Beach Boys is good as gold. That's what my grandmother told me and all her sons. The Beach Boys is good as gold. And she used to look at me, she said, boy, you good as gold. She said, boy, you are the truth. You got to live by the truth. That's what I dealt with. I just live by the truth. I don't care, Marad, if you come something to me. If Marad, you're my dear friend. If Marad was to go somewhere and steal something and I see he's stealing it, I'm going to say Marad stole it. I ain't going to act like you didn't do what you did for you. Because I'm a man, you a man, and if you're a sovereign man and you decide to steal, then that's your business. Then I'm a sovereign man, I decide to tell the truth about what you did, then that's my business. I'm not under any obligation to protect you. So I'm not under those kind of obligations. I take no oath or swear or go to some secret society. I'm open. Open and free, man. And I know that this sounds probably funny coming over the radio because I emote and I get excited about people when they start talking about me or my friends or my family or my race. Because that's what I'm committed to, man. I'm committed to that. Could I share a story with you?
Go right ahead.
I went to get a job. I was the training director for New York City Department of Correction. I went on a job interview. And on the job interview, there were 5 people on the panel to interview me. And one of them asked me this question. He said, Mr. Beach, why do you wear an earring? And my response was, why do you wear a tie? And he said, well, what are you talking about? I said, that's what I want to know, what you're talking about. I come in here to interview for a job. And you want to ask me about an earring? Ask me about this job. Now, if you don't ask me about the job, then this interview is over, man. When I came in, I didn't have a job. The worst thing that could happen to me is what? If I leave, what? I still don't have a job. But I always have my dignity, man. I'll always have my integrity. I learned and understood it a long time ago. That's nonsense, man. I'm not going to let nobody violate me. I'm not one of those individuals. And quiet as it's kept in the United States of America, you only hear about the slave experience. But if you want to do some additional understanding and read about the Gullah, the 100-year war in the United States of America by the Gullahs, black men who fought. Andrew Jackson and them cats had to kill them because they fought. Don't think that everybody ran around with chains on and with their heads down like they show you now when they're taking you and going into your community, kicking down the doors and taking you off to Rikers Island for some petty stuff. No, man, I know this system. The last statement I'm going to make, and it's not my statement, it's Neely Fuller's statement. Neely Fuller makes this statement, Marad, and people listening, if you want to deal with it. He said, if you do not understand white supremacy and racism and how it works, everything else you understand will only confuse you. You got to understand it. I understand the system, man. I ain't trying to be no Superman, and I just work like everybody else. Work, I pay my mortgage like everybody else. I use my credit cards like everybody else. But I understand it. I know how it works. And that's what my family and I constantly do. That's why I wrote my book. My father said, you got a story, son. He said, but everybody's got a story. If everybody's got a story, he said, then you tell your story. That's what it is. All consider this. The book, consider this, that's just my story. Somebody else got other stories. Then tell your story. And I'm 9 years old, man, in Mounds, Illinois. And people came, and this is before Emmett Till. My mother and her cousin had to sneak me out of Mounds, Illinois so that I wouldn't get lynched. Because as a 9 year old, I ran a race with a white boy. And two of us ran the race. The white boy said that their little white boy was going to win, and all the colored kids said that I was going to win. I won the race. We're coming back, and they called us some niggas. I hit the white boy, and to me, as a nine-year-old, I thought it was over. I went to my cousin's house. We was having dinner. My mother came in, and she said to me, she said, June, she said, did you hit anybody today? I said, well, yeah. I said, you know, a little white boy called me a nigga, and we started fighting, you know. My mother put, look, my Rod, every time I think about this, man, it gives me, my mother put my sister's dress on me, man, put my sister's dress on me, and she and her cousin sneaked me out of Mounds, Illinois, and put me on a train, man. So I know what goes on. I ain't got no illusions about it. I don't play no games about it, and I'll speak to it, and I'll live by it. But right now, I'm cool because I'm 83 years old, man. Ain't too much more can happen to me, but I'm going to always stand for truth and righteousness and shed the light. I don't know how to say it. People probably won't want to be on your program no more, so why y'all bring him on?
No, brother, you will find out the reason you on this program. Because I had the opportunity to observe you and your morals, your just soul, your righteous spirit. You are reverted back to your nature in which you have created. I read that in your book. They were laughing how they had to put a dress on you to get you out of town after the fact. And that is, you are so interesting that after these few minutes is up, I do a show. Because I'm in charge, I'm going to keep you on because I want to talk about things that we have not talked about, and that's how interesting you are. You see, I learned, and I too came up very difficult in another era. And when you... Everyone on this radio that listened to me, and I just went viral 2 weeks ago, they know I talk about my mother. My mother called me boy. She said, boy, you listen to me? Boy, you do this? Boy, you better do that? Boy, you better. And it was my mother that gave me that foundation that never take no for an answer. So we are a mirror of one another. That's the way it's written in the scripture. You see yourself in the mirror when you look at someone that favors what we do in life. But the listening audience should know that you went to many universities to go get your education to Yale Law School to learn about law. And this tells our children today that, yes, you're gifted, If you want to sing, sing. If you want to play baseball, basketball, football, but don't get away from your education, because one day you ain't going to be able to. And if, in fact, that is that intellectual mind and raise yourself up from that flush, which we call the animal flush,
mm-hmm.
the intellectual mind allows you to be above all other creatures, crown of creation. So I want to talk about these universities that you went to and how you, your wife, and Jim Brown and a few scholars have came together to build a curriculum to stop our children from doing that which they are doing today. And how y'all put a dent in it, because you're not giving up. There's a whole lot more work to be done. Can you speak about that?
Yes, I'm going to take a few moments, but my wife is beckoning me, because I told her I was going to be on your program for an hour, and she's got a little anxious. But one, the Mayor I Can curriculum that Jim Brown put together with some social scientists, we're sharing it. I'm just getting ready to do something with the Mayor I Can curriculum in Allentown, Pennsylvania, to help young people, ex-offenders, individuals who's kind of lost their way. The university, you know, I attended the Yale Law School, Central Michigan University, and the Theological Seminary in New York. So I was always trying to understand the legal aspect of what's happening in the country and what's happening in the in religious circles. However, I deal with that in my second book, The Sting of the Whip. I deal with some of the legal aspects of it and some of the religious aspects of colonialism and slavery. It's just an analysis, but what we do to help young people is what we know they need to help them. The curriculum is a 15-chapter curriculum. We won 16 weeks. And we apply that curriculum to train the FBI agents through the Mayor I Can curriculum, correction officers, police officers, and gangbangers. And out of that curriculum, facts that the FBI will say that out in California, the gangs and the Crips and the Bloods, we help that curriculum help us develop a truce so there would be no shooting or killings in the community. And people could walk the street. Those are the kind of things, you know. And if anybody is interested in that, they can contact me, Walter Beach 3, AOL.com. They can get my book, Walter Beach 3 at AOL.com. And Murad, all this talking about, and I'm talking about you, but I have the utmost respect for you too, man, and what you're doing in the community and what you've done. So it's kind of a mutual admiration society. So if we want to do this at another time, I'd more than love to do it, but I don't want you to be the source of this divorce.
Well,
because my wife is asking me to go.
Listen, that's your other half. And
that's right.
Running around here as a half a man, we don't please our other half. So I am, you tell her, I thank you for allowing you to spend this opportunity with me. I'm just, you know, I don't read scripts, but I remember things. I put it in the hard drive. And when you signed the book that we were speaking about tonight over to me, you said something like a beautiful, bright light. And And you said that. You spoke about, I guess, my knowledge of understanding, and of course you said peace and love. Coming from you, Doc, that alone inspires me to do what I'm doing today.
I appreciate it, man. And anytime you see me smiling and happy, you can think 9 out of 10 times I'm thinking about my wife, because she's the love of my life.
Well,
she's the love of my life.
That we ain't going nowhere without the woman. That every human being, whether you're a prophet, whether you're Dr. King, Malcolm X, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Emmanuel Wallace D. Muhammad, Jim Brown, or Dr. Beach, or Murad Muhammad, you got to come through that tunnel.
That's
and
right.
So
she's a lot
of respect for the woman that God has given intuity. And that's what your wife, I know her personally, attorney at law, that does a lot of things in the way of entertainment as well as keeping things correctly legally with the letter I can. So you can,
okay.
We're going to say thank you for being here, and anytime you call me and say I'm free, you come on. We'll make a way where you can give us another hour and we'll be able to speak more about your book. Before you leave, tell them one more time how they can get this book. Consider this.
Yeah, it's Walter Beach, WalterBeach, Walter Beach 3, the number 3, Arabic number 3, at AOL.com. Walter Beach 3 at AOL.com. And Murad, I appreciate you, man, and I love you, okay?
I love you too, brother. When a man can tell another man he loves you, that's some strong love. And give my love to your beautiful daughter, Monica, who's right there probably with you, because y'all one family, one team, and this is something that my listening audience needs to know. So we want
okay, to say, I'll make yeah, Monica's right here also, okay?
Okay, peace and love, my brother.
All right, peace and love.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just heard from not only an educator, but an outstanding athlete, but more important, a upright human being. This is why New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speech, brings you these very different men and women that walk this earth, not those who passed away. That's our history, and we should never forget our history. Our history is rewarded of all research. But you only got two hands, and you have to know the history, and you have to know the future. But the present can pass you by. It can pass you by because you don't know your history, and it can pass you by because you are not looking. Once you put the history, which is the past, in one hand, and you put the future in the other hand, God will give you the present. This is because you have to understand where you come from and where you're going and why did God created us. We are created in this world to struggle to get to the next world. All of the struggle, you have to go through 40 years. 40 years before you can become a man or a full woman to be able to come into the wisdom that God wants you to have. Now, they give it to us in language that you can't figure out. 40 acres and a mule. 40 acres and a mule. What is the 40 acres? Don't take it literally. Don't take it as physical. 40 acres is the aches and pains for 40 years you must go through. And if you don't get it by then, you become stubborn as a mule. And that's what happened to most of us, that we stop learning, and we don't want to advance ourselves. So what do? We come complacent. God didn't create us to come complacent, that you don't give up. You don't give up until you leave this world. But you have to leave this world with a legacy. If you don't leave this world with a legacy, you did nothing. What is your legacy? Because you can't take your money, you can't take your ego, and you even cannot take your fame. But the legacy is what you have done for society. You must give back. God gives you the air to breathe, and that is free. But if you don't give it back, brothers and sisters, you will suffocate. God gives you the water to drink. If you don't let it out, God gives you the food to eat. He doesn't charge us to grow those crops through the earth with a little seed that you planted. That's the will of God. So he feeds you, but you got to let it out. If you don't give it back, you will die. Well, likewise with education, likewise with wisdom, we must obtain it by the will of God, and then what do? We give it back. Well, this program of 7 to 8 will continue, and we want to thank you all that tuned in with Dr. Beach from 8 to 9. You're going to hear me speak about some of the things we just went over and some of the things that God has given to me in my hard drive, and I will open up for the new program if you will hold on. And those who are calling in for the next program, to do so. But I want to close this program out. You don't have to hang up. Just give me another few seconds, and I'll be right back at you. I want to thank you for listening, and may God be pleased with all of you to tune in for next Saturday. And Milad Muhammad will be on the air at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We say to you from the Arabic language, from the Holy Quran, Assalamu alaikum. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon all of you. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother, Marat Muhammad, once again, live on your Blog Talk Radio, coming to you Saturday evening. Every Saturday evening, we bring you something new. And on Sunday, we have the two beautiful young ladies that come on from 78, Amira Wazia, Camilla Tajuddin, from 8 to 9. She brings you superstars in the sports world. And Camilla Tajuddin, celebrity sports, is a worldly sister that understands the sport world and has brought you many celebrities in all walks of life, like Larry Holmes. And in women, what it is to survive in society, like Melva Moore. And we believe, without a shadow of a doubt, we believe that these programs can educate you. Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent, Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks. And we come to you on Monday, and Monday we have our beautiful sister Jacqueline Smith that brings you her way of cross-examining me and bringing things out of me for the new book that we are creating, and inshallah, a movie. And she asked me things that I have literally forgotten, but she's able to tap into my resource and bring me things that awaken my mind to recollect the things that I have done in the past. And we thank Jacqueline Smith for that. And then on Tuesday, I'm back again, 7 to 9, and the religion of Islam is humanity. I speak about all of humanity. I speak about all of Scripture. I speak about everyday life, how you apply the knowledge in which God has given us in His words, the words of God, not my words, the words of God. And when you use those words and break it down to your everyday life, brothers and sisters, you are going to be successful. It's written that everything that's good is already have been written. You just got to get up and go work for it. And then on Tuesday, we have Imam Eli Obey, and he comes on at 7 to 8 o'clock, and he brings you the tafsir of Imam Wasim Muhammad. No cuts is on it. It's the Imam speaking around the world in words that he has learned by studying Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we thank Brother Eli, who has done a wonderful job and built a great following. So 7 to 8 on Wednesday, you will hear him. Right after him, from 8 to 9, our sister Michelle, come on, and Michelle is unbelievable, Michelle Muhammad, and she's able to give you how to eat to live, the best things you need to learn how to eat to live. And we have forgotten about that. Well, our beautiful sister is called Sister Michelle, and she will break down the herbs and the things you need to eat in the morning, in the afternoon, even the water you should drink. We thank Sister Michelle, a sister that had to ponder in her mind if, in fact, she wanted to do this. My God, you listen to her, you would think she's been doing this all her life. She has took control and she has continuity in bringing you new ideas about what's in your food and what you should stay away from. And she just don't give you just her understanding. She's not an old woman in the sense of the word, energetic young female, that she goes out and picks the brains of great doctors. And people have done this for years and specialized. Her degree is in nourishing, but she goes to people that may have a doctor's degree in that, or she goes to medical doctors to see what you should put in your system. And that, of course, is on Wednesday. On Thursday, we have a gift. Our beloved brother, Imam Darnell Kareem, a beautiful mind, a beautiful soul, a man that comes to us that walked with Imam Wallace E. Muhammad, the childhood friend of Imam Wallace E. Muhammad. And I honestly will tell you, I don't care what I have to do, I'm glued when I hear him speak. He reminds me of Imam Wallace E. Muhammad, and one of the reasons I would go and be behind Imam Wallace E. Muhammad wherever he would go, my wife will tell you, that I'm never late. Matter of fact, if he goes on at 1 p.m., on Sunday, I'm there at 10 a.m. And they ask me, what are you doing here so early? I want a front row seat. I want to sit and listen to a man that has been gifted by Allah amongst us to see the right side of that Holy Quran the proper way. You can't find another brother. If he's out there, I pray he will come and we will put him on the air. But Darnell Kareem speaks just like the Imam. In the sense of the word, you won't hear his voice. You won't hear his style like the Imam. No, we all got our own individual personality, and we all have to stand on our own 2 feet. But Darnell Kareem can take those Arabic words and make it simple for you. And he tells you each word of the Holy Quran and incorporate it in your everyday life. And when you incorporate the words of God and everything you're doing, you're praying. You can't pray, brothers and sisters, unless you use the word of God. And if you're using the words of God that you are trying to convey to an individual, you're praying. Now, how could you lose with the stuff you use? So it is important that you learn these very different Arabic, not Arabic. Now, if you say the Arabic of the Quran, I accept that. But it's a different language of the Arab. The Arabs have their language. And I want you to keep in mind that Allah, the Prophet Allah, chose Arab. Yes, a man that came out of a womb of an Arab. Yes, a man that came from the loins of an Arab. But God didn't raise him up as an Arab. He raised him up as an upright human being. And that's the myth that we have today, thinking that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Arab. No, but Allah, being the Lord of all the worlds, created a language called Arabic that was close to Arabic. Why? So he can get Muhammad the Prophet to learn what he is saying to him and for him to learn how to say it in their language. So Allah chose that. But get it correct, that Arabic, even though it sounds like Arabic, the Arabs had to learn Quran. It was new to every man on the face of the planet. And today, we read the Quran, and we understand that God talking to you and I directly. Read it for yourself. I'm not saying you're not supposed to listen to me or another imam, or anyone that's scholar that can speak about it, you have to read it yourself. Our mothers and fathers taught us every day at the kitchen table, whether it was for breakfast or lunch or dinner, they always instilled in us education. But if you don't go and learn it for yourself, you will not comprehend it. You will not be the man or woman that you're supposed to be in this life. Oh, yes, you're going to struggle. But Allah, supposed Allah, put you, in order for you to be strong, you got to lift weights. And the weight is oppressing you that says you can't do it. And you start off with 5 pounds. Oh, it's rough. Then it's 10 pounds. Then it's 50 pounds. Then it's 100 pounds. And now you're 300 pounds. Well, that's the struggle. But that's the physical struggle. I ain't telling you to go through the physical struggle. That is the struggle you go through in life. The order to become developed in life, to be polished in life, to be able to make less mistakes in life, to stay on the straight path of God in life, you got to be consistent. You got to be repetition. You can't give up, brothers and sisters. You got to give your time, and then you ask God, oh, Lord, tie that knot that says you can't do it. Untie that knot of procrastination. Untie that knot that you tired. You got to beg Allah to loosen that knot and allow you to receive him the way he sees fit for you to receive him. And you don't have to go through no other man. Just ask your child. Turn to that 7-year-old and say, little girl, little boy, where is God? And she or he will tell you, God is closer to me than my jugular vein. Well, God close to us as our jugular vein, and why are you talking to a third party? Talk to your Lord, and you'll see it being manifest in front of you. So Thalnel Kareem is able to speak very plainly and clearly because he speaks English properly, and he could define to Anas of what it all means. And so if you tune in, we gave him 2 hours. So he takes all Thursday. Sometimes he's a demand around the country because right now he works for the federal government. And he teaches religion, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Hindu. You got to have a PhD to be in that position. But he didn't go to their university. He came out of Sister Clara Muhammad. He came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that taught his students that they have to learn the Arabic of the Quran, the Arabic, not Arabic, the Arabic of the Quran. And so he was gifted to be able to understand that by him being a student of Ibn Warfin Muhammad, he got it. And so I cleansed to him. I called him and talked to him, and I'm so honored that he decided to come on Thursday and take 2 hours. Matter of fact, he said, how could I turn down the Quran? Excuse me, brother. He said, you invited me to the Quran, meaning you invite me to talk to the world and tell them or introduce to them what I learned. And inshallah, if I can touch one or many, it's up to Allah, then it's all based on Thalnel's Kareem's good intention. And then on Friday, from Tuskegee Institute, we have a brother who grandfather is Booker T. Washington. Yes, the earliest alive today is my brother Musa. And Musa is a beautiful man with a double master working on his PhD, come from the Air Force. And brothers and sisters, his father all come from Tuskegee, but his grandfather named it Tuskegee Institute. His grandfather got over 500 major parks named after his name. Matter of fact, that back 5,000 and 500 schools named after his grandfather's name. The name to university. Now, Musa don't particularly care for that because his grandpa named it Tuskegee Institute. However, the red tail, all those men, as Dr. B speaks about, being in the service, if you listen to their history, you know, when they came into Vietnam, they say, black man, go home. Go home, black man. And they say it over there in China. Why? Because when we take on something, we love this country, that we would give our life. So we didn't fear anything. We didn't fear anything. Now, what religion you going to put on each one of those colleges? You can't give them religion. But who was they? They was an upright human being that came from slavery, from their ancestors. And you heard Dr. Beast of the Hell that he caught coming out there. They had to sneak him out of Alabama to order to go elsewhere to live. Brothers and sisters, this is all real. This is real. You think the South, this is just yesterday. But you think God is putting us in position because we suffer worse than our Jewish brothers? Our Jewish brothers only had 70 years of hell, and they won't let you forget the Holocaust. 70 years, and they still looking for Hitler's family. We had 400 years and some, 400 years of slavery, over 100 years of mental slavery. Add that all together, 500 years if you want to be right and exact. They will cut us down if they caught us reading, hang us from a tree if we looked at a white woman. All that we went through, you think God picked us because of that? No. No, because we'll be bragging that we the best because we went through more hell than anyone. Chose us because if you look into your heart or you talk to your brother, there's not one African-American in America, unless it's a rarity, is trying to kill white folks or trying to kill their offsprings or trying to kill anyone that was a member of slavery. That's not in us. Not that we're going to forget, but a lot of race that's from us. Just like a woman for 9 months and had a child. You think she's a freak why she has another one? No, a lot of race that from her. She don't feel that pain anymore. She has another one and another one. If anything like my grandmother, she has 16 of them. So this is the mercy of God. So he chose us because we chose to stand up in our spirit, stand up in our soul, and understand that you have to become intellectual, and I want to speak about that. So we thank Musa, Muslim Abuwi, that will be on from 7 to 8 o'clock on Friday. And then we have Saladin Bilal. And Saladin Bilal came from the military. Yes, he's a soldier from the Marine Corps who decided to go to college by way of Imam Wadisi Muhammad to learn the Arab ear. He sits on New Africa Enterprise, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Maj speaks, that brings you this broadcast. And Bilal is also speaking the tafsir of Imam Baide, been around ever since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, went through Vietnam and came home and went on to educate himself. And we salute him for being one of our presenters. And then, of course, this is Saturday. And we just holding Saturday down because we have some very, very powerful emails, Ishar, a female, that will be able to take these 2 hours on Saturday. But we want to announce that Imam Wadisi Muhammad, a widow, is going to be on the show the following week with Amira Wazia, and we will announce it to you all, and she has a whole lot to say. Matter of fact, when I was in her presence, when I was the keynote speaker with Sister Clara Muhammad, for all of the principles, Imam Ramadan's masjid, she said there are coups of notes that the Imam has written that he wants to give to us. But she said y'all would love to hear it, and she would love to teach it. And surely we would give her a vehicle to do just that. However, she said, in reading those notes, there is not one thing that mentioned his name. This is all for us. And I thought that was very profound. that she enlightened us that he may want to see Muhammad stay up to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, think about how can he make us more in touch in the reality of what Allah has given to us in Revelation. We say, Bismillah, the Rahman, the Rahim. Alhamdulillah, the Rabbi al-Alameen, wa sa'afa, wa salam, wa sa'afa, su'ali kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salakallah wa deen. In God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet. May Allah peace and blessings be upon his descendants and his companion. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Brothers and sisters, it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to come to you and say something to the right. I tried my best to ask Allah to govern my tongue and say the right things to you. And if in fact I slip, I make a mistake, you can't give that to Allah, you give it to me. But if I say anything profound, if I say anything to enlighten you, if I say anything to allow you to revert back to your nature and what God has given you, if it allows you to become obedient to God, you have to give that to Allah. I cannot do that. All I can do is make a presentation and ask Allah to guide us. You know, we talk about various different things, brothers and sisters, and Allah gives us a physical outlook on life. But that physical life is just a picture to give you an idea that has nothing to do with God. But it gives you the ability to tap into your intellectual mind. If you go into Fatiha and you read the 7 levels, because there's 7 levels of Fatiha, and you should learn them and read them in those levels. But in the first part is mercy. Rahman Rahim, El Rahman El Rahim. And that mercy is the physical, when we come out of the womb of our mother, who do we love? Our mother. Why? She's right there. We don't have to look for her. She don't have to go nowhere to feed us. All we have to do is suck on that breast, and we can get all the food we want. And she holds us, and she cares for us, and she makes sure that we live a peaceful life as we live in her womb for 9 months. That's why the baby loves to lay on the chest of the female, because she can hear that, or he can hear that heartbeat of the mother when he was or she was in the womb. So in that womb is paradise. In that womb is a classroom where Allah teaches us in that womb. We come out of that womb intelligently. And I know you're saying, how can you come out of the womb intelligently, and how can God teach us? Well, you say being this. But you don't have to teach a baby how to chew their food or swallow their food. It's natural. You don't have to teach a child how to cry. It's natural. You don't have to teach a child how to blink their eye. It comes natural. You don't have to teach a child how to move their lips, how to cough, how to regurgitate. My brothers and sisters, you don't even have to teach a baby how to go to the bathroom. But when they come into this world, they come in with one language, not your language, because you may speak Spanish. How about French? How about English? How about Italian? No, you come in this world and speak one language. Now, how could that be? Put them all behind the wall, whether they're from China, from Africa, from Poland. Wherever they're from, you can't tell one from another. Why? Because they all speak the same language when they're crying. And so the baby is intelligent enough to know that they came out of paradise, which is clean, but yet they defecate on themselves. Yet they urinate on themselves. And they will cry, telling you, you don't understand their words, you got to change me because I'm not used to this. And when the baby is hungry and you're not feeding it, it's going to cry. Now, once you feed the baby, it will push you away. Meaning it's full. They can't tell you they're full. They push you away. Now, some of us ignore that. That's why we got obesity children, because you ignore the baby trying to tell you, I don't need anymore. That's built into that child. But that child understands when it gets sick, the mother nurses back to health. When the baby is crying, the mother will soothe the baby. When the baby is trying to walk and fall, the mother will catch the baby. The mother will carry the baby so the baby don't have to walk, and will watch the baby crawl, will watch the baby get up, fall until it walks on its own. Oh, that mother is so beautiful that we think she's a god. And rightfully so, because look how you love your mother. You will do anything for your mother. You will die for your mother. Well, that's the first mercy. But if you go into the second part of Fatiha, Allah repeats itself. El Rahman, El Rahim. So there's the second mercy now. What is God saying to you? The second mercy, you got to cut that navel cord. And you got to grow into the intellectual mind. And then you got to come to the understanding that your mama ain't God, but he taught you all these years to learn how to love your mother. Now give that love to God. You know how to love now. But why would you love God greater than your mother? Because God created your mother as if he creates you. So you're going to the source of the creator. So you can't tell me you can't love God, because you have to learn that intellectually, that mama, we will never, ever mistreat mama, but mama can't take you to heaven. You must stand on your own two feet. Well, the scripture says in the Bible, and I like to quote the Bible sometimes, because nothing in the Bible is wrong. It's just your wrong understanding. It says every tub must stand on its bottom. Every tub. That's the phrase they use. And there was found, it says, you have to be able to do what? You owe a debt to God. So you got to stand on your own two feet. Well, it's a thing just putting different words that makes you not understand it. So you owe a debt to God. All that I said prior about the food and the air and the life and coming out of the womb, that's the will of God. You got to pay him. You got to pay him back. You can't pay him with your money. You sure can't pay him with your ego. He don't want nothing of this world, but you can pay him with your good deeds. So now you put your mother in perspective that you have to make your own decision, and you have to love God greater than mama, greater than daddy, greater than my wife and my children. Why, brother, Allah is greater than yourself. And when you come to that understanding, you're on your way. That nothing happens without the will of God. So the intellectual mind is important. And when you stoop down to your animal nature, you're down there with the animals. And the animals are saying to you, human, what the hell are you doing down here? Acting like a dog, a rat, a cat, acting like a pig. Why, brother, you are barbaric when you stoop down there. But order to stand upright in your nature. You see, if you don't stand upright, if you don't stand upright in your soul, then you will never see this. The intellectual mind, who sends a message to it? You have to have something physical. Yes, the heart, doesn't send you anything but feeling. But when someone touches you, all of a sudden the intellectual mind sends a message. Because why? You've been touched. That feeling is everything. He give you a hug. Whoa, that little child will never forget that hug. Why? Because you touched them. You were able to touch them. And when you send a message to the intellectual mind operates that big body. That body, you look in the mirror. That's a big specimen of a human being. But God put that little head in charge. But when the head ain't in charge no more, the body gives up on you. Do you really think that junkie in the street is thinking right? No, he gave up. So the body took over. Ain't listening to you no more. So the body craves for the drug, not the mind. The mind don't know why it's down there. So the body ain't listening to you no more. But when you stand up in your mind and you come out of that ghetto, you come out of that negativity, you come out of that poverty, whoa, now the body listens to you. Because God put you in charge of that earth. That's earth, man. when you look in that mirror, you see what? Earth. And where did that earth go? It goes back inside the grave in which it came from. The dirt, the mud. And that flush that you're looking at, well, you might as well say it's charity for the insect, for the worm, for the termite, because it eats the flush to send it back. But that beautiful mind, well, the Negro Foundation, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Here we go with the mind. You remember what Sayyid Muhammad said, the mind is the vine. Here we go with the mind. Because the human being is the mind. Here we go with the mind. That don't die. That evolved. Allah ain't going to kill his great creation. You a crown of creation. We all in the grave, dead. No, you got to live. And you got to understand there's a better world than this, but you got to earn it. You owe a debt. You got to pay that debt back, and you ain't going to get in there with your good deeds. So what you heard Dr. B speak about, and what you're going to hear on Monday to Sunday, 2 hours a day, 52 weeks out of the year, is men and women giving back. And I'm not leaving my women out there, because why? We ain't come in here by ourselves. You hear what the doc said, I'll offer him another hour. He said, I would love to do it, but my other half is waiting for me. That's a real man, because he realized he ain't come here by himself. That's his nature talking. Maybe he can't define it the way I want to define it to you, because I always wanted to know this. I said to myself, how did God leave Eve behind? Because we keep talking about Adam, but we don't talk about Eve. So why did God leave Eve behind? And what did I come up with? She was right there. But man had to pull her from the rear. That messed me up. Why would God take us through that? So that means God must have made a mistake. No, you can't tell anyone intelligent that man, woman came from your rear, because it was only one mold. That mold came from the earth, the womb. That's why we go down inside that prayer. We put our head on the womb that formed us. What womb, Rod? There was no human beings here. They don't call the earth man's earth. It's mother earth. So Adam came out of the womb. One mold. And then it was molded in shape. So what did God give this clay, this mud, this dirt, this dust? What did he give them? Gave them one soul. One soul, male and female. So that means they came together. And that's when I realized I ain't making it in the world until I do what God created me to do. You know what we say, oh, I want you to meet my other half. That's a true statement, but you don't know what you're saying. If that's your other half, man, and you ain't got it, you a half a man. Whatever you did in life, made a billion. How about 10 billion? You left another 10 behind. So you have to marry. Together as one, that's the foundation of life. The woman doesn't give life, she carries life. It's the man that injects in her life. And she carries that seed. And on 9th month, she gives it up. So her heart stops beating. She can die right there on the operation table. Why? Because she's giving life back. She's giving life back. That's what God created her for, to give life back. The greatest gift given to mankind. A child is born. That could be the answer to sickle cell. That could be the answer to cancer. That could be the answer to racism. That could be the answer to stupidity. That could be the answer to procrastination. Whoa. Oh, you didn't know that. Because we men don't make babies. We make whoopee, but we don't make babies. Only God creates life. Go study it, brothers and sisters. Go in the library and see what you look like. You look like a worm. A little worm came from the life, from the seed of the man. But in this society, they say you ain't pregnant. Why? Because they can't see it. There's only water, blood, and semen. They can't see it. But yet it's being developed by who? God. and you killed it, and you want to destroy it and think you ain't destroying life. But now that look in the mirror and see if you look like a worm. Where did those eyes come? Where did them nose come from? Where does the lips come from? Where did that thick head come from? Them arms, them legs. How about your fingers? Did man create that? So those are signs to let you know that I'm the Lord of all the world. God sends down to us rain. But where did the rain come from? The rain comes from the earth. How do it come from the earth? The sun brings the rain up. This filthy water on this earth, dirty mud, but brings it up. Yes, you feel that mist. It's rain funny, but you can't see it. And he draws it up, and he purifies it and sends it back to you. Well, that's knowledge. You are hung up on being a pimp, a hustler. You are hung up on being a thief, a gangbanger. You are hung up on being a liar, a cheater, a woman abuser, all that filth. And Allah draws that out of you and then sends you the word of God to you, and you become purified. That's what God is saying. Read my signs, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. You don't need a piece of paper. God don't give you a piece of paper. Why you think that Muhammad says, I can't read, Lord? You thought it meant that he was unintelligent. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But keep this in mind, brothers and sisters. Because I'm a student of Imam Wadisi Muhammad. And I take pride in saying so. The man said, go look in the Quran. You don't see Iqra three times. It's not there. So now you got to figure it out. But if your heart is right, Allah will give it to you. He didn't say Iqra three times. But man said, Muhammad the prophet said, I can't read, Lord. There's no paper. There's no ink. How could I read, Lord? Read in the name of your Lord that created. Could not figure it out. But then, when his heart was right, he began to read. Now God said in the Holy Quran, one time, read in the name of your Lord that created. He got it. God said, You take one step, he takes two. You got to think on your own. You got to figure it out on your own. I created you to be intelligent, God said. So I ain't giving it to you. Read my creation. And so men that read Revelation and study the words of God is greater than any institution, any university. But when you read the word of God who created some of them out. Now you got it. But you can't get it if your heart ain't pure. Allah will not give you revelation if your heart is not pure. Because you write revelation on your forehead, it's like writing revelation on a mountain. It will crush the sand. You can't withstand it in your intellectual mind. You didn't write it on your tongue because you can't speak it correctly. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew nothing about religion. He didn't understand religion. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know nothing about the language of the Holy Quran. But what was he operating in? His nature. Now God says yes, because his heart is right. So Allah written revelation on what? His heart. His heart, brothers and sisters. And if your heart ain't right, you can't touch the Holy Quran. Oh, Brother Murad, I read the Quran every day. I ain't talking physical, man. If your heart ain't right, you will not be able to comprehend what God wants with you. So we have to understand that by reading God's signs and seeing his creation flash in front of you, you know the old song, he got the whole world in his hand. What hand? God don't have no hands, but it's a good metaphor to wake you up if God has it in his hands, like you got the world in your hands so you can see your physical hands. But Allah means there's two controls of the whole entire world is his will. The earth is moving and you don't even, but days go by. The sun comes out by the will of God. The stars light up the sky at night by the will of God. The moon is shining, whether it's a quarter of a moon, half a moon, or full moon, the will of God. The day goes into the light, and the light comes into the day for the will of God. How is it? You want to leave this atmosphere, don't put on a space suit, you will die in the atmosphere going up. Because this is the way you created on earth. You're the crown of creation. You're a little above the angel. How could you be above the angel? Allah made you that intelligent. Well, why not the angel? They don't do nothing but what God wills them to do. They can't rationalize. They can't make decisions. They can't sympathize. Why, rain, hail, and snow, that's the angels. Some of us died from it. Earthquakes, that's the angels. Some of us died from it. Why, man, you can be on a cliff and fall up. If the angels don't catch you, you dead. Then the death angel come and get you. Whether you're little, small, tall, they do the will of God. They got a job, brothers and sisters. Job. What do you have that the angels don't have? You have a responsibility. You can accept, as Dr. B said to you in the first hour, consider this. That's all he's saying, consider it. I'm just giving you the words of God. You accept it or reject it. That's your decision. And most people reject righteousness and decide to take on falsehood. And you'll be successful. But it's called temporary heaven for permanent hell. And so our females that you hear on our radio, we want them to come from behind the doors. Anybody that got anything to say to the world out there, and you can be a Christian. You come and tell us the right words about that Bible, you can talk on this radio station, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speech. If you Jewish and you want to speak the words of the Torah, you got a space on this station, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speech. If you are Hindu and you want to talk about the nature of God, look how humble they are. Why, you don't see anything in their demeanor that they want to hurt the next person. Buddhists, look how humble they are. Very humble people. Practicing the nature of God. They call it Buddhism. If you want to speak on this network, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speak, we welcome you. A Hindu. A brother and sister that practice atheism. Now, we're going to ask you, don't come here saying that there's no God. But he could be an atheist that knows science. You can speak. He could be an atheist that knows medicine. You can speak. He could be an atheist that can teach you how to cultivate your crops. You can speak. That's the will of Allah. They're not all bad in these people that you judge. Who in the world are you to judge? But to wake up and understand that Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace upon him, is not just for us that says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad and the Rasulullah, there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad the Prophet is the seal of the Prophet. You don't have to say to come on this radio, for Muhammad the Prophet is for all humanity. My God, brothers and sisters, he's for all humanity. Can you understand that? That Muhammad the Prophet was not created just for us, but you want to keep him to yourself. No, well, he wouldn't be a just God if he created one person to be just for one different race of people or one religion people. I heard a brother email, and I wanted to smack him. He said, if you don't speak Arabic, Allah will not hear your words. So what part of the Holy Quran that he's reading? When Allah says it's simply in the Quran, hear all my simply. That means you can talk any language you want, and Allah hears you. Your mother can use a name that you can't even find in the dictionary for God, but Allah knows her heart. You, out of ignorance, might say the wrong thing, but Allah knows your heart and saying, Allah is the God. And you, as an individual, with all those rituals, is trying to judge another man or another woman. That's not for us to do, brothers and sisters. That if we see you in danger, in the fire, and you're dying, we ain't supposed to call up, are you a Christian? What that got to do when I'm dying in here, man? Are you Jewish? What do I have to do? Go help those people. But Allah says in his holy book, and I'll quote, if you see something wrong, you change it with your hands. And if you can't change it with your hands, you change it with your mouth. And if you can't change it with your mouth, you change it with your heart. And somebody tried to interpret that and say that's the least of the three. Revelation was written on the heart, not the tongue, nor the forehead. You can't read the Quran if your heart ain't pure. And if you don't pray, I don't care how you try to change it for the first two, but it can't get done unless it's the will of God. So there's no way mathematically the third one is less. It's common sense, and Allah gave us common sense, because today they will shoot you. So if a person is in danger and you can't get to them, you can holler with your mouth because you can't change it with your hand. But the perpetrator turns around and shoots you, and you way across the street. So if you holler, you lose your life. So you ask Allah, oh Allah, free that victim. Don't let that perpetrator kill him. And the perpetrator just had a heart attack. Perpetrator dropped his gun, and the victim got away. That's prayer. Prayer is powerful. So it cannot be the least of the three. But what God is saying, do something, man. Do something. Don't let it just pass you by. Don't just look at it. And that's what the doctor is saying. He loves Murad Muhammad. But if Murad is a thief, he's going to tell on him. Well, what did Muhammad say? Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, see your brother wrong? Help him do what? Help them to do right. Allah says, you stand up for right even if it's against yourself. Oh, these are some powerful sayings, but we just say it. We just follow the ritual, and we don't understand what it actually means. So, brothers and sisters, that I tried my best, I get rewarded for doing this, and I do it for the sake of Allah. If, in fact, Allah makes me a tree in air, well, surely I would want it. And sure, I would like to be a tree in air. I can help a whole lot of people. But I think big. Start small and think large. I feel that we can be successful for what all is going on today. You got James Brown. Go look it up. At Rolling Stone, April the 21st, James Brown's estate was 900 million. They have robbed that estate with legal fees, and the family argued they got nothing. They told his sister, you incapable, they probably right. But they gave it to a bank, the white folk. And prior to that, you could not pull down the prince's music. Now today, everybody's pulling it down. Why? Because that's a dollar. You know what I mean? Where is these millions going to or billions are going to? He'll be more rich dead. But every time that we pass away, they come in and they take everything that belongs to us. While you fighting, they own everything. Michael Jackson, someone forged his name, and they don't have the power to find out that Michael didn't sign. Why? Michael was in secrecy. And so Mike didn't tell him all what's going on. So now here comes a stranger that's claiming this is how they get us. They do it all the time. They don't want you to leave nothing behind. They know the law, and they watch what you do. Can you believe, brother, that all these men came from us, but we control not anything? When are we going to wake up and come together as one and stand up? Because it's easy to get there, because if, in fact, any company like Prince did, Prince said, oh, you don't want to give me my rights back? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, because you don't own anything on my personal appearances. So I'm going to go around the country and give my records away for free so y'all don't make no money. That's the only way he got it back. But they say, who the hell do he think he is? And all of a sudden, he's dead. See, that's what happens when you start waking up and you're an individual. When you're an individual, they will take you out. Nobody likes a war. Nobody. That's why the Italians don't mess with the Irishmen. The Irishmen, the Italians don't mess with the Jews. The Jews don't mess with the Christians. Why? They don't want no war. But individual, they're going to get you all the time. So they control the Jay-Z's, and they control the Beyonce's. And when you start leaving them, all of a sudden you expose. Oh, now you did this, now you did that. So-and-so is a child molester. So-and-so got five different children. Jesse Jackson have. This is how they kill us. But every man got fault. You wouldn't be a human being if you didn't have fault. But God says that if a people will not sin, he will erase them from the earth. So only one that will sin. Because if you sin, you can only obey God. God says when you get off the pattern, you can't even go to his creation, can't help you. Nobody can help you. You say, well, I'm going to beg God to help me. God said, I am not helping you until you please your soul. And when you please your soul, then I am pleased. So God is saying, ain't nobody help me until you help yourself. God bless the child that has his own. You got to help yourself, and then God will help you. But if you don't help yourself, then you will not get help from God. So God told his angels not to help them until they come to what? To the nature, which is the El Fitri, which I created. If they come back and be obedient to me, now you help them. So you got the angels now helping you. You already got two when you came into this world, one on the right, one on the left, and one is talking to you every day. And that one on the left is writing your history. So in the final day of judgment, your history will be read, and you can't say a word. Who is reading? The angel that's been with you ever since you came out that womb. This is reality. Once you understand this reality, then you will accept the will of God. I thank you for listening to me. It gives me, once again, I reiterate, a great privilege and honor to be able to come to you. And I thank Walter Beach III, for accepting my invitation. Hopefully he will come back, and more like him will be able to come on the air. If I said anything to hurt you, that's not my intention. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask Allah to forgive me. But if I split any words or repeated something that wasn't correct, I'm human. I make mistakes. But I did anything to motivate you to want to be all that you can be in the world. Give that to God. I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Muhammad. May the peace and blessing be upon the prophet with the Arabic language from the Holy Quran. I salam alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.